You know, no matter what excuses that you can think of to give God why you haven't or aren't doing what he's called you to do, or whatever excuses that you can give God or give to somebody else of why you're not walking in the blessings of God, you know, those excuses just don't hold water. Because there's no excuse that you can think of that he didn't already think about. Come on, before he called you, he already knew all your shortcomings. He already knew everything that was wrong with you, and yet he still called you. He already knew all the things that you've done wrong, going to do wrong, and he still desires to bless you. And so we got to just eliminate the excuses in our lives and stop saying we can't because, and start saying we can because of God. Amen? Amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, go ahead and open those to Luke chapter 2. And we're going to talk about Jesus this morning, because if anybody had a good excuse to give somebody, I think Jesus did. Jesus came to the earth, and we all look at him as, you know, Jesus, the English actor from Jesus of Nazareth that we all watched on TV growing up. Anybody else watch that epic miniseries? Remember that? The epic miniseries comes to NBC. Does anybody else remember this? You're all looking at me funny. Y'all know you're going to have to loosen up a little bit this morning, all right? Everybody's a little bit wound up. Listen, the epic miniseries, and he had this beautiful British accent. I grew up thinking, I mean, he just spoke perfect, just perfectly British, and the guy looked like him, though. Man alive. I mean, that's just like, that was the quintessential Jesus. But when you think about where the way he grew up, he didn't grow up the way we all picture him as the multitudes following him around. He grew up in Nazareth, which would be like the hood. Nazareth is not like the nice place, okay? He was from the wrong side of the tracks, so to speak. And his dad, his biological dad, didn't live here on earth. The dad that he grew up with was his adopted dad. And if people that did know the story, that know that there was something going on there, that would know that that's not your biological dad. I mean, there's some excuses Jesus could have gave because people probably made fun of him. You know, hey, that's not your dad. Joseph's not your dad. They probably could have said all kinds of things about his mom. They could have said all kinds of things about him. And not to mention the fact that he was a Jew. And, you know, in that part of the country, there was all kinds of other, you know, other races around that didn't think too much of the Jews. Come on, they still don't. I mean, that part of the world is mired in all kinds of controversy because the Jews are kind of looked at as less than. And so today, we're going to talk about Jesus and the excuse that he could have given, which was, nobody recognizes my potential. You know, and there's people in here in this room that are loaded with potential to do something for the kingdom of God, loaded with potential to make an impact on this world, and then they just don't because they want to blame somebody else. Well, nobody else knows that I can do that. Well, whose fault is that if nobody else knows you can do that? Well, I mean, nobody's asked me. Okay, well, they're not going to ask you. You're going to have to just get out there and do it. And if nobody else recognizes it, I want to say to you this morning, God recognizes your potential. Why? Because he put that potential in you. And that's where we're going at this morning. This is where I was doing some research on this, and I found this pretty interesting story. I want to read it to you. Google employees enjoy something called 20% time. Now, this is not an official policy. It means that everyone at Google headquarters is encouraged to spend roughly 20% of their day at work, 20% of their work day working on special pet projects and what they call blue sky ideas. So you have your job description, which takes up 80% of your day, but then they want you to take 20% and go off and daydream about some kind of new project that you can present to Google. Okay? This is what they want you to do. I mean, seriously, 20% of your day is to have something that doesn't involve your job description that you signed when you got hired. Now, some of you might be sitting there thinking, yeah, that's called lunch. I'm talking on top of that, all right? Google has these rooms that they go in and sit and take a nap and listen to classical music because it makes them more creative. Man, I'd love to have that at my job. Anybody else? I mean, you're allowed to go and take a coffee break and just take a doodle pad and just doodle. All right? That would. I mean, what kind of world is this that we're living in? All right? I mean, the world's gone crazy. All right? Check this out. After 2.5 years of working on a pet project, one of the engineers, a man by the name of Paul, and I hope I get his name right, Bichette, had the opportunity to present the idea to Google, to his idea to Google executives. Now, this came from him spending 20% of his day thinking about it. All right? One reportedly said to him at first glance, "This will destroy our brand and crush our company." Did not see the potential of his idea. His idea was Gmail, or what they call Google Mail. It did not crush the company. In fact, it was much like Google's version of the iPod. It became the springboard for Google to think bigger and broader than they ever had before. And it is now one of the company's legacy products. Who would have ever thought that Gmail was this close to never happening? Now let me just back up a little bit, because I don't know what it is about email that causes people to overlook its potential. But do y'all know that the email has been around since like the 50s? Most people don't know that. But it was a military thing. It was actually exchanging 1,300 or 1,400 messages a day between military personnel. And now we're talking back when computers took up this room. Okay? So we're not talking like a real easy... We're talking like it was a big deal. But they were... So it started at the Department of Defense. The U.S. Postal Service had an opportunity to become the first civilian email producer. And the Postmaster General at the time said, "That is ridiculous. Nobody will ever use that outside of the military. Everybody's going to always want to get something in the mail. Nobody's ever going to open bills that way. That will never catch on." So they passed. And what happened? It all went private. We had AOL, we had Prodigy, we had CompuServe, and we had all these other companies launch, and now you have Yahoo and Gmail and Hotmail and whoever. You can get your own email now attached to your own domain name. I mean, it's just, there's endless possibilities. But nobody recognized the potential of that idea. And how many of you know the U.S. Postal Service is paying for it today? I mean, they call it snail mail. They were calling it snail mail in the 80s. It's even worse now because they didn't recognize the potential that email had, okay? Listen, we are much the same way. We cannot let those who do not see our potential keep us from reaching it. How many of you know email reached its potential and is reaching it every day? Does anybody in here not have an email address? Because we just want to point at you and laugh. Everybody has an email address. Everybody. My grandmother, who's 93 years old, has an email address. Okay? We actually stuck her on Facebook for a while, but that didn't last very long, all right? But think about it. The U.S. Postal Service, from the potential email, had the potential to become the first. I mean, we would all have a .com email address if they had really jumped on this the right way. Probably wouldn't have been no AOL, and there probably wouldn't have been no other email programs. And who knows what that would have blossomed into. That may have turned in, we may have all had a USPS instead of a Facebook. I mean, that all kind of blossomed because nobody would recognize its potential. But the potential was still there, and it went on to become something. We are the same way. We can't allow somebody else who doesn't see our potential to not become what we're supposed to be. If nobody else thinks that you can, is that what's keeping you from moving? a story of Jesus that is much the same way. Verse number 43, after the celebration was over, they started home to Nazareth, but Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents didn't miss him at first because they assumed he was among the other travelers. But when he didn't show up that evening, they started looking for him among their relatives and friends. Let me stop right here for a second. I want to just, this is nothing to do with the message. If you are, if you do have the YouVersion app on your phone, your tablet, or whatever, you can actually follow along with us. I try and say this all the time, forgot to say it when I started. You can actually follow along. Our notes are in there. There's a place for you to take notes. And there is, all of our scripture references are in there. So if you want to use that, by all means, take advantage of it, all right? YouVersion's a free app, all right? You just look under Live Events, Direction Church Orlando, and we'll be right there, okay? Let's pick back up right here. Verse number 45, all right? When they couldn't find him, they went back to Jerusalem to search for him there. Now check this out. 3 days later, they discovered him in the temple, sitting among the religious teachers, listening to them and asking questions. All who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. Verse 48. His parents didn't know what to think. Son, his mother said to him, why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been frantic searching for you everywhere. Now, we all have read this story, and again, from thankful for all the movies that we've all seen and all the Sunday school stories, but we've all heard this story, and it was almost like Jesus, we always focus on the fact that Jesus was in the temple, and he was discussing religious things with the Pharisees and the priests and whoever was there, and it was a great religious moment, and it was, I mean, a 12-year-old sitting there having a conversation with a scholar and wowing him with how much he knows, that's impressive, but Look at this from the parent standpoint. Now, first of all, of course, if you don't panic when you can't find your kid, you're not a good parent. So obviously, you know, that's just the way it is. I mean, we panic at our house when we can't find our kids, all right? It's like when it gets real quiet, you know something's up, but you don't know what room they're in, and we immediately start asking each other, are they in there? Are they in there? All right, so y'all know what I'm talking about, right? But that's not what I'm talking about. Notice it took them 3 days to find him, because they didn't go look where he was. Obviously, the last place you look is where you always find something. You don't go looking for it after you find it. But how many of you know if they thought Jesus had, where would have been the first place you would look? Come on, somebody. I would have went to the temple first if I really understood the potential Jesus had. If I really understand that he's the chosen one, he is the one sent to redeem all of mankind, I would have been looking in the temples first. Okay? They didn't go look there. They're looking all over the place for him. They didn't see the potential that Jesus had. And in fact, they looked at it selfishly, which again is a very natural human standpoint when it comes to being careful of your kids. But look at what they said to him. She says, son, why did you do this to us? With no acknowledgement of the potential that Jesus had in his life. Now, this is just one area that we could talk about in the life of Jesus where nobody recognized his potential. I want to talk to you this morning about three kinds of people who can't or don't see your potential. And there are people that can't see your potential. All right? Mark chapter 6, verse number 2. Mark chapter 6, verse number 2. The next Sabbath, he began teaching in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. They asked, where did he get all this wisdom and the power to perform such miracles? Then they scoffed. He's just a carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon. And his sister here among us. They were deeply offended and refused to believe in him. Then Jesus told them, a prophet is honored everywhere except in his own hometown and among his relatives and in his own family. And because of their unbelief, he couldn't do any miracles among them except that to place his hands on a few sick people and heal them. There's another story in the Bible, and for time's sake we won't read it, but there's another part in the Bible where Jesus stands up and starts preaching, and his mom and his brothers and followers send for him and say, we really need to speak to you right now. Like, seriously, you're going to wait till I get up in front of everybody and then say you need to talk to me? All right, so that's where they are with that story. And then this story, you have the guy who's got starting to get a reputation to heal people standing there in front of you, and you go, who is he? Who does he think that he could heal me? What is it about him that is so special? These people couldn't see the potential of Jesus because they'd known him their whole life, his whole life. You ever heard that saying that familiarity breeds contentment? You know, there's sometimes that we're going to be around people and we're going to know people and we're going to be close to people, and they're going to know you because they know you in a personal way, and they can't see anything past you being the normal goofball that they've grown up around or you grew up around. They just can't see it anywhere else because they really know you as a person. They know you. They don't know you as what God's called you to do. They know you as your brother or your son, or they know you as your cousin. They haven't ever had to look at you that way. And when they do look at you that way, they go, wow, you really think you're something, don't you? Come on, y'all know what I'm talking about? There are some people that are just going to be that way. There are going to be some people who are just not able to see us in that way. All right? Society has blinders constantly looking for the next big thing. You know, our society is always looking, who's going to be the next? And they use terms like, who's going to be the next Steve Jobs? And who's going to be the next Walt Disney? And who's going to be the next Henry Ford? And who's going to be the next Bill Gates? And who's going to be, listen, there is no next. It's, I'm the first Brent Bailey, and you're the first so-and-so. And all of us have that potential, and that's the sad part about it. We shouldn't be looking for the next big thing, because the next big thing is standing right here. The next big thing is, come on, living on the inside of me. And because of who he is in me, I'm the next big thing. Come on, somebody, that's good. You ought to amen that. Everybody has the potential to be the next big thing. It is our ability to see it that causes, to not see it, that causes it to be a mystery. Okay? Paul made this statement in Philippians chapter 4. He said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, how can you make a statement like that? Listen, he didn't care if you believed in him or if the person sitting next to you believed in him. He was like, it doesn't matter. I have somebody else who does believe in me. And if you can't see me for anything as the guy that used to kill Christians, and you can't see me except as the guy that used to stone people or did everything to stop the church, you can't see me as anything but that. That's okay. Christ sees me as something else, and I can go out and do, come on, all things through him who strengthens me. If you can't see it, that's okay. Once we surround ourselves with people that who can see our potential, our lives usually take a substantial turn. Anybody ever been around somebody that really saw your potential? Remember the first time you heard an encouraging word that you actually didn't know about something? I don't know if I can do this. And they go, you know what? You can do that. Just go ahead. And you remember how that made you feel? This is what God is saying to us all the time in his word. This is why he makes statements like, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. All right? The second thing is, there are people who won't see it. The Pharisees are the prime example of this. They were continuing to disprove Jesus and what he was teaching. Those with the perceived, who have perceived control and power in the world. In our lives, there are those with power who won't see our potential. Maybe it's the boss, it's the professor, it's the coach, team captain. All of us have people in our lives whom we feel have power to change our destiny, but for some reason, unknown to us, they don't. These are people that we kind of look up to as, this is our opportunity. If that person can just give me a shot, it's going to unlock for me. But for whatever reason, they don't. It's like they're programmed, okay? And usually they're programmed by their past experiences, their past teaching, and at their current state of programming, they're not going to see you for who you are. for him to believe that the Messiah, who was going to set all of Israel free, was going to come as this big conquering hero. Well, when Jesus came, you know, wearing sandals and long hair and looking like, you know, peace, man. Peace I give unto you. Take my burden upon you, my yoke upon you, and learn of me. I mean, he didn't come in, you know, how dare you strike down the armies of Israel? I am the Lord God. He didn't do that. He came as a completely, and what happened? He went against their programming, and they weren't going to see anything else except that he's weird. He is flaky. He has delusions of grandeur. He is a blasphemer. They called him everything under the sun, all right? Then there are people who refuse to see it. When Jesus was on trial before he was crucified, Pilate let the crowd sway his decision to recognize Jesus' potential. Now, I firmly was almost there. I think that he, because he said multiple times, I can't find anything this guy's done wrong. And I think Jesus was actually starting to weigh on Pilate. But then Pilate thought, you know what? Because of who I am, I need to ask the people, and I need to really take this to the, I need to do a Gallup survey. You know, we need to take a poll. And even though probably in his own mind, I think that he was probably, I mean, God was you know, must have been doing something here because his wife had a dream the night before. And so what does he do? He goes and he takes the survey and all these people say, no, kill him. And so at this point, Pilate gets a little bit lippy with Jesus. John chapter 19, verse 10, Pilate says to him, don't you realize that I have power to either free you or to crucify you? Pilate represents those people in our lives who know better but refuse to get past outside pressures to validate what they think about you. You know, they kind of already start thinking this, yeah, okay, yeah. Somebody else doesn't like you, says something, and they lean in on that. In our lives, there's going to be those who refuse to see our potential too. No matter how much data they have or proof that they can see who we are, they just will not allow themselves to be associated with us. Now, I've been in ministry for 20 years, and I was serving on staff at a church many years ago, and I got moved into this position, and I could tell that the move in this position, they were asking me to basically saying, we really want you to leave, but we can't ask you to leave. So we're done with you, basically. So we're going to put you out here to pasture, so to speak. And but it was sold to me like this. Oh, we really want you to do this. You're going to be great at it. And so I took this position on, and while I was in there, every idea I presented to, no. Okay, and then they would come back and they would give me this mandate. We need you to do this, 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 and this thing. Give me this list of things that they wanted done. And then I would say, okay, all right, and I would start firing back ideas to get those things done. And, you know, every one of those things got said no to. Now, at that point in time, I had an encounter in my life with somebody who refused to see my potential. All right? They knew I could do it. Why? Because I had done it for 6 years before, over in this other area, doing this other thing. And these people all of a sudden just like, I mean, it didn't matter what. I mean, I sent up one thing to the pastor's office and I gave it to him personally. I was like, here you go. This is going to make us about $25,000. Free and clear, profit. Came back, no, you can't do it. I was like, what? There's something wrong when a pastor says no to $25,000. Exactly. And we have some guest pastors with us today. They just came off of a cruise. That's the great thing about being in Orlando. You get all the vacationing pastors. So it's good to have you guys with us today. When a pastor says no to $25,000, there's something wrong there. And here's what was going on, right? They were at a relationship with me. I was at the end of a relationship with them. They were really ready for me to get out of there. And I was really ready to go. And at that stage, no matter what I presented to them, they were going to say no to. And these are people that are in your life that are like that. No matter what kind of data you can give them, no matter what kind of sales job you can put on them, they're going to refuse to see it. Here's the thing that all three of these do. They actually represent a danger of unseen potential. We cannot let those who don't see our potential keep us from reaching our potential. Sometimes when you get in the middle of this, you start thinking, well, why bother? Nobody believes in me. Why even try? I felt this many times. We did an outreach here most recently. We did an outreach at the church here when school started. We were giving away free haircuts. Some of you were there that day. We did free haircuts for kids going back to school. You know how many free haircuts we gave that day? None. Zero. Not one person showed up for it. The only free haircuts that got, they were my kids and Chris. And I think there was a handful of church people that actually just like, if you want to practice on me, you can. We gave away no haircuts that day. And we had given out flyers and all kinds. And I remember, you know, keeping a good face for everybody else. I was like, yeah. And I walked away going, are you kidding me? Not one? We didn't even get one. And it really does mess with you when things don't meet the expectations that you have. But you have to keep telling yourself, if nobody else sees the potential of what God's calling us to do, God does. Okay? So, as we start to wrap this up today, let me ask you this. What do we do about it? What do we do about it when nobody can see or doesn't see our potential? Well, if you believe the thing that is holding you back from your dream is that nobody recognizes your potential, there are a few important things that you need to know. Number one, everyone with a dream has felt that feeling that you're feeling right now at one time or another. Everyone with a dream has had to or is having to endure people in their life who don't believe in them. I want to read you the story about the iPod. The iPod makes so much sense to us that it was bound to happen. That's the way we think about it. Wrong. Tony Fadell, who was credited with inventing the iPod and iTunes, shopped this concept to two other electronic brands and was rejected before finally finding a willing ear in a man named Steve Jobs in Apple. Jobs had already envisioned a compact music came along at the right time in 2001 after being turned away by Real Networks and Philips. With a single product, Apple was transformed from the alternative computer brand with $500 million of debt to the most profitable and recognized tech company in the world. Compared to the share prices of Real Networks, $7.67 a share, and Philips, $31.08 a share. Apple is a global powerhouse, trading at the time of this article, $491.70 a share. Turns out the iPod wasn't such a bad deal after all. All right? It is very tempting to think you're the only person going, tempting to think you're the only one who has to put up with these kind of people. But you're not. Sometimes we just need to change our affiliation. All right? Let me read this to you real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says, "The temptations in your life are no different from what other people experience. And God is faithful." The things that we're tempted to deal with on a daily basis, this people that just make us feel horrible, that's a temptation for us to give up trying. Listen, that's no different than anybody else's, okay? The successful people that we look up to aren't walking around with nobody telling them it's a bad idea. People outside of your dream don't get it. And everybody hears no. Everybody, all right? Number two, this season that we're in isn't bad. Human nature is to run away from challenges, but it's the challenge that through it actually makes us stronger. James chapter 1, verse number 2 says this, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy." Now, this doesn't make sense. You just actually will look at this and go, is that really in the Bible? Because I don't want to have troubles in my life. I don't want to have challenges in my life. I don't want those kind of things to come. But listen, James says that this is an opportunity for you to have great joy in your life. Why? Because what comes out the other side of a challenge is victory. Come on, somebody. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will perfect and complete. You will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Listen, faith that is never tested or is never used is faith that's not very strong. The challenge is not God telling you that it's over. The challenge is you not being out of God's will. The challenge is not that there's a secret attack from Satan out there. It's not that the challenge is you hitting the limits of where you currently are. Come on, somebody. Y'all better catch that. The challenge isn't all these other mysterious things. It is actually the limits of your current capacity. That's all you can handle, and that's why you're hitting the challenge. Well, it's outside, and it's all these other people. Why are you letting what those other people say bother you? That's the end of where you are right now. That's all you can take. All right? The challenge is the limits of your current capacity, and you can either go through it to the next level or stay where you are and never change because, well, there's no challenges. You know who else sounded like that? The children of Israel. Let me tell you a real quick story. The children of Israel were in bondage in Egypt for hundreds of years. They sat down there, whole generations passed. Born in slavery, died in slavery. Born in slavery, died in slavery. Born in slavery, died in slavery. They came out. They are actually freed. And they're walking through the desert with Moses leading them. Y'all know how I feel about Moses. He's Charlton Heston. I mean, he is. In my mind, he will always be. All right? And he's out there leading them. And what do they say? You know what? We actually had it better in Egypt. Well, at least we could eat there. Yeah, and you got beat half to death every day, too. And you had to work, you know, like 17 hours, and you could only sleep a little bit, and then you had to get back up, and the guy had to beat on you some more so that you could finish building the pyramids. That's really better? In their mind, it was. And this is what happens when we go through a hard challenge. Sometimes we want to retract from the challenge because, well, I don't really want that challenge. And so when hard times of people talking bad about us and saying they don't believe it, season to be in, this is an opportunity for you to transition, come on somebody, into another level in your life. This is a chance for you to take a step up. So I want to ask you this question. Where have you been running from things when you should be embracing some things? That doesn't mean that we're doormats and we lay down, we just let the devil walk all over us and people, you know, just take a dump all over us. I mean, that's not what I'm saying at all. I'm not saying that you're just the doormat for somebody else to just trash you. I'm saying when those things happen, look at it as an opportunity for you to grow and become the next person God's called you to be. All right? Lastly, don't let these seasons paralyze you. We are living in an instant gratification, customizable reality. I mean, right now, you can name it, design it. I mean, I watched last night on TV, one of the furniture companies has something called iSofa. And you go online, and basically you pick the model of sofa, the color, what kind of cushions you want on it, and you have it at your house in 2 days. 2 days! Now, when I grew up in northeastern Kentucky at Roger Kilgore's Furniture, which is this little hole-in-the-wall furniture store there, you had to go in, pick the couch you want. You couldn't take the one that was in the showroom. Why? Because that was for everybody else to see. I have to order that for you, and it'll be here in 6 weeks. Come on, anybody else? Anybody else grow up remembering toys from the 80s when you had to tear off the proof of purchase and send away for the, you know, and then what happened? 6 to 10 weeks later, it showed up. Those days are gone. You know, some of you really older folks in here might remember, you know, the radio programs and you have to write in and ask for your, you know, little Orphan Annie decoder badge and it came 12 weeks later because you had to mail it there, and then wait for it to get mailed back. Anybody else? Everybody's looking at me like, no, Brent, nobody in here is that old. Good, praise God. All right. Right? We download music instantly, books instantly, media. We do all of it instantly. Last night, my two-year-old was wanting to watch SpongeBob. SpongeBob's not on. He just wasn't on right then. It's one of the, you know, it was during that 23 other hours that he's on Nickelodeon. It was that 1 hour that he wasn't. And so, what do we do? We were just like, well, let's look on YouTube. So we look on YouTube, and of course there's a million SpongeBobs on there, but they're all like 3 minutes, 5 minutes, just little snippets. And so I was like, all right, we need something that's going to entertain him for a while here, so because he's, you know, he's getting ready to go to bed before he goes to bed. So I typed in SpongeBob movie, and there it was. You can rent movies on YouTube now. And for those of you, it was an endorsement, and if you want to help us by free streaming, no. Instantly, Netflix, instantly watch that movie. You missed what happened last week on The Walking Dead? You watch it instantly. Oh, nobody in here watches that. I'm sorry. You got one honest person here. No. You missed what happened last week on the whatever. You can watch it just like that, Netflix, instantly. All right? We can find information instantly thanks to Google and our smartphones. We were sitting around the other day at a restaurant. I can't remember who it was. And somebody asked a question, and I was like, I don't know. And I looked down, there was four smartphones sitting there, and I was like, how come nobody's Googling this yet? And instantly, out came the Google, and we got our answer. Because, listen, we can know what our friends and families are doing. Get your phone out and open up Facebook, and they'll tell you, I'm sitting in church listening to a dynamic message by Pastor Brent right now. That's probably what most of yours is saying, correct? Yes? And if it shouldn't, if it doesn't, it should say that right now. So go ahead and take your phones out and just, it's like most, in old churches they would say, let's take out the hymnal, and let's, in our new churches we say, take out your phones and update your status that you're at church. All right. Okay. Through social media, we know instantly what's going on. You know, there would be times I wouldn't talk to my cousin for months. He lived in Virginia Beach. I lived in Kentucky. He was 8.5, 10 hours away from each other. I wouldn't see him or know anything was going on for months. I can tell you what he's doing right now. And because of this kind of, and this has only been a short time, we're all immediately, we were comfortable with it. It just happened. Y'all remember when cable internet first started coming out and we all got away from the dial-up? Up until that point, we were like, who cares about, you just like dial up. And it was like, look, it's so great. You're surfing the web. You're doing all this stuff. It's so wonderful until you got a hold of a cable modem. And you're like, I hate dial-up. I hate that noise. Oh, it takes forever. Nobody told you it took forever until you compared it to something fast, right? I mean, it just happened. But here's what's happened. The danger of that, everything moving so fast. And it's everything. I mean, our speed limits went from 55 on the freeways to 65. And in some places in the country, it's 70. And other places, there is no speed limit. You can go to Montana right now, and there's hundreds of mile stretches of the interstate that have no speed limit. That's the only thing to be at all appetizing about moving to Montana. You're watching in Montana. We love you. All right. So, everything moves fast. But listen, when it comes to your dreams happening and your call happening and walking out the things of God in your life, they're not always instantaneous. And when things don't move like this for us, we get depressed and we get discouraged. And we get rattled. Time can discourage us, and in a time when information comes instantly, our dreams may take years. I was talking to these guys this morning about one thing that I've learned about, since I've been pastoring now for a year. I'm a veteran. been in ministry 20 years, and I'm still a novice when it comes to pastoring. I've only been doing pastoring for a little over a year, right? And I said, the one thing I've learned about this is that I was arrogant and prideful and thought I knew everything. And when I started pastoring, I started realizing I didn't know anything. And the thing is, I thought we'd be at 300 in 6 months. I thought we'd be at 1,000 in a year. I mean, it was just going to happen. Snap your fingers, like we had a little girl in a pink thing, just like, yes, master, clean, doing, and it's going to happen. Now, if you didn't get that, you need to watch Nick at Night, all right? We have to keep moving forward in spite of these dry times when it seems like everybody is against us, all right? Matthew chapter 28, and we're going to close with this, verse 20. Teach these new commands, and be sure of this. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. One more scripture, Hebrews 5. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Don't let this season in your life where people have talked bad about you and don't believe that you can do and don't have any faith in what you can do, don't let that be the thing that stops you. Know that this season in your life is just that. It's a season through it. God is walking through it with you. God is holding your hand. God may be even carrying some of you. God is with you, and he said, I'll never leave you, nor will I forsake you. And the underdog that is sitting here in front of me has a victory story that's just waiting to be written if you'll just keep going. Amen. Head bowed, eyes closed.